What awaits us? God has a future for us. God has planned a wonderful future for every believer. Most people want to go to heaven, but we're not in a hurry to get there. And that's right. God's got a purpose for each one of us here. But he's got a future for us in heaven. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." That is where our future home is. God the Father loves us so much that he sent God the Son, Christ Jesus, to die for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. From 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died and is risen today. God the Father will have Christ come back when the time is right. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live in your heart. And Christ Jesus also comes to live in us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, which I've said last week and want you never to forget, when it says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you?" We are a temple of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It is so precious that we never forget that. We also read in Colossians 1:27, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And Paul also said of talked about Christ living in us in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." God promises us eternal life. In 1 John 5:11 through 13, it says, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that we believe that Christ Jesus, our Lord, is our Savior and is the Son of God." There's a dual principle for believers and unbelievers. Believers have a home in heaven promised to them for all eternity, and non-believers will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus said in John 6, 37 and 39, these are three wonderful, precious verses, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day." And then John says in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall see Christ and be like him, is what this verse says. No, we come to the very promises of God for our future. The promises that are given to believers. The first promise given to us as believers in the future is the next very great event on God's calendar, which is the rapture of the church. But it begins this way in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 18. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. The Word of God gives us this so that we would not be ignorant. It is so very important for us to understand that. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. And as I stop, I want to stop here. Look, those who die without Christ think when they die, it's all over with. And it's not. If they don't know Jesus, they have a home reserved for them in a lake of fire. It's not all over with. We who believe in Jesus know that our eternity is just going on. We're going to be with the Lord. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorry as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who believe in Jesus. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. This is the rapture for the believers. It says comfort each other with these words. Talk to each other about these words and comfort each other. The rapture of the believers. Not all pastors believe in the rapture because the word rapture is not in the Bible. We need to understand where it says caught up is the Greek harpazo, meaning to grasp hastily, snatch up, to lift, transport, or rapture. The word rapture comes from the Greek word caught up. All genuine believers will be looking for the rapture, our blessed hope. Titus 2:13 says we're to be looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where do we go at the time of the rapture? The second promise given to believers in the future is we are going to the Father's house. Because Jesus promised us this in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the first thing to know. We shall always be with the Lord. When we are raptured, we will always be with him. In fact, if you even go back to this, this is not on what's back there, but you know, after the rapture comes the tribulation. Christ doesn't come back during that tribulation. But when Christ does come back, we are with him. We shall always be with him. And we'll find that out. Every believer that died in Christ and living in Christ will be raptured to the Father's house. When the Father says to Jesus, go get the bride and bring her home, Jesus will come back for his believers and bring us home when the Father tells him. This is the rapture. This is when the rapture will take place. The third promise in a believer's future is we go to the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." All believers are going to the judgment seat or bema seat of Christ. This will be a time of rewards, as our sins have already been atoned for at the cross. Christ knows you. Don't think for a moment that he does not know your heart and your thoughts even better than you do. And you will not go unrewarded. What would you like Christ to say to you? Well, it says in Scripture that he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Matthew 25, 21 to 23. That is what we should all want him to say to us. Wouldn't that be precious? Where Christ says to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not everyone is in agreement on when the judgment seat of Christ occurs. I believe it has to occur shortly after the rapture. Some believe it's going to take place way after the tribulation. I don't think we'll wait 7 years for it, so that we could have our robe of righteousness right away. The fourth promise in the believer's future is the marriage of the Lamb. We are headed to a wedding. Our marriage to the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. The marriage will take place in heaven. It is spoken of in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 10. In verse 7 it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has been made ready." Our wedding is spoken of in verse 7. And a marriage supper in verse 9. How did the church or bride go to heaven for the wedding? How did they get there? It had to be by the rapture. Our marriage is described in Revelation 19. What it's important for us to realize is that Revelation is not chronological. There was a great Bible prophecy person. His name was Jimmy DeYoung. He died of, I think it was last year, or earlier this year he died. Anyway, one of the things he said is that the Revelation is not chronological. You know, during Revelation chapter 1 through 3, it speaks of the church. And then from 4 through 22, I think, it doesn't speak of the church until 22, or is it 19? But anyway, one of the things it says in 19 is of the wedding of the church, of the bride. Now, there's a lot of things going on in those other chapters in between. And that's why the wedding is brought up in 19. I believe it takes place much sooner. Then you think it takes place right where it's at. But regardless, we are headed to our wedding far beyond we could ever imagine or think. We are going to be married to the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the greatest marriage of all time. The ceremony of a spiritual union of believers in Christ Jesus. The fifth promise in our future is the return of Christ. The second coming of Christ. Spoken of again in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. The church returns with Christ after the wedding to Christ, after the wedding of the marriage of the Lamb. Christ is going to come back as a warrior. There are two armies with Christ. One is the host of the Lord, which is the angelic army from Matthew 16:27. The other army is the church of the saints who have been raptured and married to the Lamb. Remember it says we're going to always be with him? When he comes back, we're with him. In Revelation 19. Christ the Lord will be coming back as a warrior, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In verse 15 it says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, and with that he will strike the nations. He will speak the word of God at the battle of Armageddon and eliminate the army of the Antichrist. It will just be with a spoken word. The beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. And Satan will be bound in the abyss for 1,000 years. In Revelation 19 and 20 and 1 through 3. After Satan is bound to the abyss, we'll have the millennial kingdom. And that is the sixth thing that is promised to the believers. Is that we will reign in the millennial kingdom with Christ on earth. After 1,000 years, Satan will be released. He will not repent, but deceive people once again. And there will be a final rebellion, and then he will be cast into the lake of fire. And that will all be taking place with God, just like that. That battle will not last long at all. Following Satan being cast into the lake of fire, we will have the great white throne judgment, where the wicked, the dead, those who rejected Christ, the ungodly, are judged in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And they're cast into the lake of fire, an everlasting lake of fire, for all eternity. This brings us to the seventh promise for believers in the future. In eternity, with the new heavens and the new earth. And that's when eternity will go on forever. Everything will be taken care of. The final two chapters of Revelation. The best description is of the new earth and new heaven is in Revelation 21 and 22. But I really like Revelation 21, 3 and 4. Here's what it says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. God the Father and God the Son will dwell with us. The tabernacle of God will be with men. And God will dwell with us. He means he will live with us. When it says he will tabernacle with us. In eternity, the day of God, the fullness of time. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10 speaks of this. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all the things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. All things which are in Christ. Heaven is the fulfillment of God's promised everlasting life to believers. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 46, that the righteousness will go to eternal life. And we are only righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you ready for his return? Do you know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? And does he govern your daily life? Father in heaven, Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for having a future for us that we can know and be waiting for. We thank you, God, for how precious and special we are as your children. And we thank you for the inheritance that you have given us. What a beautiful inheritance. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for Christ's everlasting love also, and the Holy Spirit being with us now and forever. In your name, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.